This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing. Our instant inspiration is entitled, All Life Flows from the Invisible. Life is the art of drawing sufficient conclusions from insufficient premises. That's a very interesting quote I picked up somewhere. Life is the art of drawing sufficient conclusions from insufficient premises. Think about that. All life flows from the invisible. Everything is invisible, to start out. It's an idea. It's a thought. It's not even an idea or a thought. It's an object. It's an is. It's a beingness. Since nothing is created nor destroyed, neither matter nor ideas or objects, all things exist eternally. And we draw upon that which exists eternally to experience in our daily life. And that's why it's strange but true that we can experience a million years ago today or a million years from now today, because all time is now. And if we put our thought onto something that would presumably be something in the future, we would experience it today. People are doing that. People are having all sorts of wonderful experiences that theoretically in time, in the relative frame of things, would not be experienced for quite a long time to come. And there are many people who have back to the future stories or back in time, or the time machines. These are things that are in the consciousness of humanity, and they think about going back in time or forward in time and going on to experience all sorts of interesting things in life. Now, how can they do that? Well, we just explained it, that they can do that because all time is now, and they can live in the future now, in the past now, and the present now. And the now, that is the relative now, is a relative term, and it has no limitation on the allness. The allness contains the isness. It contains all of the items that we might ever think about, all of the objects we might ever consider, all of the attitudes we might ever have. It contains all of that. So, all of that exists. Now, chronologically, we might go from age 1 to age 50 and pass 50 years. And 50 years are 50 times 365 days times 24 times whatever you wish, 60 minutes for seconds, and 60 minutes for the hour and 60 seconds for the minute. And perhaps there's even more finite time that science uses. But it's all right now. All right now. No matter how finite the time may be. And all of these things that are invisible to us right now, they exist. But can you imagine knowing everything right now? Can you imagine knowing what's going on the many thousands, millions of dimensions that you're on? A thought just occurred to me this instant. We think that when we die, we go to another dimension. We think that when we die, we leave this body behind. We think that when we die, all sorts of things. Now, all of those are true, and all of those are not true. Because in the all, nothing has any relativeness to each other. They just exist as objects or as thoughts without any relation to anything else. And it's the relative being that draws relative conclusions. Now, what if Leonardo da Vinci, instead of being a great artist, decided he would go into designing helicopters? with his genius and with his intuitiveness and with his provocative sense of awareness of things that aren't there, quite likely he could have even developed the helicopter quite perfectly, and he could have even developed an engine which would power the helicopter, but then he'd also have to develop the use of petroleum, the use of oil or gas to run the engine. But of course, they had alcohol in those days, and they had lamp oil in those days, and Mark, in building his engine, one of his engines, he was running it on baking powder, he was running it on pancake mix, he was running it on pancake syrup. He took everything from the house to see if it would power this engine, and it did. That engine ran on anything. I don't know why he didn't pursue it, but it would run on anything. And we think that it has to only be gasoline or, diesel oil or something like that. It doesn't have to. It can be on anything at all. Now, how can that happen? Could Leonardo da Vinci have come up with the technique to do that? Certainly he would have. If instead of painting the beautiful paintings he did, like the Last Supper, instead of doing those things, if he had put his consciousness on doing something like creating a helicopter, which he already drew a picture of, and empowering that helicopter with some sort of an engine that he could easily do. I mean, if my son, Mark, right now, can design an engine, and this engine is pollution-free, and this engine is powerful, uses a minimum amount of gas, why is it the rest of the world can't do that? Why is it the other engineers who are working in this field with all the intelligence that they have, why is it they can't do it? Well, the reason is quite simple. The engineers know of a zillion ways it can't be done. And so this limits them from trying something that they know can't be done. It doesn't limit Mark. He doesn't know that it can't be done. He just takes an idea and runs with it. He says, if I got the idea, there must be a way to solve that idea, to put it into motion. Now, Leonardo da Vinci was of the same ilk. He was almost as intelligent as Mark. But Michelangelo, he could have done it too. Anybody who could bring a beautiful David out of a piece of marble like he did is quite a genius, quite a genius. Now just imagine if he would use that genius in another direction. Maybe being a great chef, you know. If he would take his genius of doing these things of being to be a great chef, or if he take these genius of doing these things to build houses, or maybe create electricity, which didn't exist in those days. He could have created electricity. Electricity is quite simple. Benjamin Franklin put a key on a kite string to see if it would do something, and it sure did. And today they say, don't ever try that. You could really shock yourself to death. But the great people, the great thinkers of the world, have never been one who thought in limitation. They thought of the unusual. They thought of the unexpected, the untried, the untrue. As I went into May's room and talked to her in the hospital, she was lying there with her eyes wide open, staring up at the television set, listening to the space shuttle being in a drama, in a space shuttle in a movie, doing all sorts of interesting things, going after the Russian space module that was up there, abandoned because their crew abandoned. I didn't know the whole story. She was sitting there listening to it and comprehending it, apparently, or comprehending a little bit, and enjoying it thoroughly. And then I came in and busted her reverie. And, oh, Herbie, you're here. How wonderful. Now, with that same genius that she listened to that television, with that same genius that she saw through her inner eye, the television, she could have recapitulated her outer eye. She could have taken her outer eye and let it see once again with all the clarity of her inner eye. With the same interest, as I said to her, "May, when does your leg hurt?" She says, "When I think about it." I said, "Well, don't think about it. Put your thoughts on something else. Put your thoughts on anything else, but just don't put your thought on your leg." I said that to her three different times now when I visited her, and she finds it difficult not to do that because, well, perhaps she just wants to feel sorry for herself. When we want to feel sorry for ourselves, we will not let go of our little icons that are very important to remind us of how we can feel sorry for ourselves. So, how do you do it? How do you accomplish the goals that you want for yourself? How do you accomplish the goal of being yourself and having fun? How do you accomplish stepping into the invisible allness and enjoying all that it has to offer? Are you doing it by being anxious about it? Are you doing it by putting yourself in society where you are running up against people who are not interested in doing it, and then you are trying to do it, so you're a lone wolf there? Here in the monastery, we challenge you to always follow whatever it is you want to do. And now it has been, for some of you, 18 years, and still the challenge is left unmet. I will say to you, "I think that we should do this," or "I think this is how it should be done." And then you think that that's open discussion. You forget that I'm supposed to be your mentor. I'm supposed to be bringing forth from the invisible beautiful challenges for you. And then you want to make them visible by making them logical and reasonable. Well, just remember, if I ever say anything that's logical and reasonable to you, then you better watch out. When I say things that are illogical and unreasonable, that's the time to say, "Yep, okay, fine, go along with it." Because you know it. You know the clue. If you don't know the clue by now, well, I'm working with some very interesting concepts then. Are you ready to take such a challenge? Are you ready? As all life flows from the invisible, life is the art of drawing sufficient conclusions from insufficient premises. Now, the insufficient premise that I give you is that all life is illogical and unreasonable. All life. The Creator is illogical and unreasonable. And that's another point that I want to add here. You are the Creator. You're illogical and unreasonable. And then what you did, you thought, "Well, I'll just be my creation." And so you popped into your creation and you played the game of forgetting that you're the Creator. Now, when that moment comes, that revelation, when that moment comes, you will know everything, and you will cease to know yourself as a limited relative being. And everybody else in your world will know you as that limited relative being, but they won't know you as your divine being, because they don't have the capacity to know you as a divine being so long as they're thinking in the relative framework. Now, we have said this little cone, this little illogical syllogism to you many, many times. And many, many times you say, "Oh, yes, right, oh, boy, right on, hey, that's where it's at." And then in the next discussion, it's as though I never said it. You keep saying, "How could we, as the allness, decide to be a human being right here and still, we're the allness, but how can we decide to be a human being?" You know? How can you decide to be a drop of water or the ocean? How can you decide to be one atom or the concept atom, which includes all atoms? When are you going to pay attention that all does flow from the invisible and stop looking at the physical, the visible things, and saying that's reality and the invisible is not reality? That's what you're saying. That's what you're all saying. And that's what we do say when we are relative beings living in the relative with no concept whatsoever of our absolute self. But all life flows from the invisible, so let's get with it. Let's get to thinking about what the invisible is and how it affects us and how we can really enjoy it more completely. I love you, and I see you all enjoying it more completely now and forevermore. You're wonderful.